Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Austin Price, BallQuest.com, joins us. Austin, how are you, man?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you?
Doing well. How will Tennessee approach this week against Georgia up front on the offensive line to get creative and to help out a struggling O-line going into this week?
Well, you know, we've seen Riley Locklear get more run at center. Does that mean that, you know, Ryan Johnson shifts out to guard if that's the case? You know, K'Ron Coward has gotten more run and practice at guard with Jameer Johnson banged up coming off last week's game against Florida. So, you know, Tennessee's working some different options. But, you know, I'm interested to see when does Trey Smith show up, the real Trey Smith, the All-American Trey Smith. He's kind of been stuck in a funk a little bit. He just can't, you know, get out of it. He's not playing terrible, but he's just not playing up to Trey Smith's standards. And they need him to play to Trey Smith's standards. And if Tennessee's going to be worth anything up front. And Georgia, not nearly as good as Florida along the defensive line, especially on the edge. And so Tennessee Saturday could potentially do more positive things in the run game and maybe even protect the quarterback a little bit better, with Georgia not being as talented or at least not having as much experience up front along the defensive line.
When you look at the game plan for Tennessee in this game, are they going to come out aggressive knowing that they've got to do something big if they're even going to hang around in this game? Or do you think it's going to be more of a low-key approach, just don't turn the ball over and cross your fingers and hope it's not a six-touchdown game?
You know, Chad, they've went the ladder to this point. You know, they've kind of been conservative the entire season. The play calling has been very vanilla. You know, last week it was, you know, student body left, student body right. it was extremely vanilla. At some point, do you not have to do some things to kind of mix it up and put a little flavor and maybe some excitement with the players? Give them something to get excited about, because, you know, the play calling is becoming so predictable that I think even the fans are starting to catch on to what Tennessee's wanting to do offensively from play to play. And so, you know, I don't think anybody's going to know until we get out there at 3:30 tomorrow and, you know, Tennessee rolls out there for their first offensive possession. But, you know, one would think at some point you cannot continue to do what you've been doing offensively. It's just been a struggle. And I think it all starts with the play calling on first down. It extends to the play calling on second down. And then the third down play calling is a moot point, because they're playing so far behind the chains, Chad, it doesn't matter.
How much more involved has Jeremy Pruitt been with the offense this week in practice?
A lot more. He's been very visible on the offensive side when we've been there for the open periods of practice. When we've not been there, he's been very much still on the offensive side of the ball. And I think that what allows him to do that is the fact that all those defensive coaches, Chad, have worked together, and he can rely on Kevin Scherer and Chris Rumpf and Charles Kelly and a lot of those defensive coaches to just kind of take the reins and go with it, because they've all worked together before. So there is a camaraderie there and a cohesion that maybe is not there on the offensive side just yet, because those guys haven't worked together for a long time at previous stops like the defensive side has. And so Jeremy Pruitt's been much more visible and had you know, much more of an imprint this week. I'm not saying he's out there, you know, running the show, but I think he is inserting some opinion here and there on, you know, maybe trying to tweak their thought process on play calling for first and second down.
Do you think we're going to see more of some players this week, or maybe a player we haven't even seen yet in this game that Tennessee's going to try to start to bring along as the season goes on?
I mean, maybe up front, a guy like Riley Locklear, who's not seen a lot of action, or K'Ron Calvert. But, I mean, outside of that, you know, You look at the defensive secondary, I think it'll be much, you know, the same guys that we've seen. Linebacker the same way. Defensive line. Where's Emmett Gooden been the last game and a half? You know, he was pretty much nowhere to be found last week against Florida. At some point, you got to start playing some of these young kids. And, you know, Jesse Simonton brought it up on our podcast. It's on VolQuest right now. You know, what if you're Jimmy Pruitt, what are you looking for? And that was a question posed by Brent Hubbs. Jesse, I thought, had a great answer. And it was, you got to find guys that you can, you know, get in the foxhole with the next 3 weeks, that you're going to be able to get in the foxhole with for the next 2 or 3 years going forward. Got to find guys that you trust. Got to find guys that are buying in. And that starts with some of these young guys, whether that's Jeremy Banks or Bryce Thompson or Alante Taylor. And then just kind of weed out some of those older guys who are, you know, still struggling.
Austin, how many of the recruits that visited last weekend have you talked to this week, and what has been their reaction?
You know, I've talked to a handful. So it was Jesse, so it was Brent, and, you know, it's all kind of the same. You know, talk to Eric Gray, and, you know, his response is, you know, much the same, I think, as, you know, what Coach Pruitt's trying to tell these kids. You're not here, so don't worry about what we're doing right now. This will be the worst year we have at Tennessee. You know, and I've told you that for the last few months as I've recruited you before the season even started. You know, there are going to be losses this year. We're going to take some lumps. You know, I understand that going in. And you're not here, you know, so, you know, don't worry about, you know, what you're not a part of. Worry about when you become a part of it. And that's kind of been the common theme when you talk to any of the recruits, you know, whether it be in-state guys, out-of-state guys, is, you know, Tennessee's pitching, you know, you're not here, be part of the change. Don't worry about what's happening while you're not here. Worry about what will happen when you get here.
A lot of the talk around college football this week was the four-game redshirt rule, so you've got some guys transferring. Well, one of them is Jalen McCleskey, of course, J.J. McCleskey's son from Oklahoma State. What do you think the odds are Tennessee lands the receiver from Oklahoma State?
I think Tennessee's going to be a major factor there. You know, Jalen should have already been at Tennessee to begin with, previous administration. For whatever reason, didn't like him, and all he's done since he got to Oklahoma State was make play after play after play, and that's on special teams, that receiver, so on and so forth. But I think Tennessee will be a factor for him. Ultimately, Jalen's got to evaluate everything and see what fits him best. And if that's Tennessee, it's Tennessee. And if it's not, and maybe it, you know, he looks at a program and goes, you know, I want to go to a more established program that's going to win, that I can make plays at and I can help. Or maybe he looks and says, you know, Tennessee needs me because, you know, right now Tennessee's receivers are all kind of the same guy. He's a different type receiver that Tennessee does not have. And honestly would be the perfect fit if you're going to take a grad transfer type player going forward for Jeremy Pruitt and company in 2019. He would be the perfect fit for them offensively because he is unlike anything they have in the wide receiving core.
Trey Knox at Blackman, a big receiver, he is going to make his announcement, I believe, on Monday between Tennessee, Arkansas, and Florida. Right now, best guess, what do you think happens there?
You know, I don't want to speculate just because I don't want to ruin Trey's moment. You know, Trey's one of my favorite kids to have talked to and covered. He's a super kid, a great, good football player. You know, I know he left Knoxville last weekend torn between Tennessee and Arkansas. Arkansas has always kind of been that team for him. You know, there have been teams that have made a run at him and then they fall off by the wayside. Arkansas has kind of been steady. You know, I don't want to speculate on, you know, where I think he's going to go. Honestly, Chad, just out of respect for him. But, I just know Arkansas has been steady for him. I know Tennessee, though, you know, put their best foot forward last week and then showed him a good time. And, you know, as he told me, I'm really torn and I'm going to take the next week to think about it.
Austin Price, VolQuest.com, the website. You can follow him on Twitter, at Austin Priceless. Always appreciate it. We will recap Tennessee and Georgia with you on Monday.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Have a good weekend.